Hi everybody. Well, our reading today is the last part of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit, who caused these words to be written and preserved for us, would now help us to understand what you're saying to us, and would he move us to respond with repentance and faith? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder how you have been coping with the lockdown this week. It raises all kinds of challenges, doesn't it? How do you get hold of your shopping? Children, how do you get on with your schoolwork when there are others in the house? Who gets to use the computers if there aren't enough for everyone? Where do you go for your once-a-day exercise? How do you make sure you don't spend too much time looking at screens? What are some of the things you have found difficult? Children, you could talk about that for a bit if somebody presses pause. I think the biggest challenges are to do with relationships with other people, because relationships are so important to our lives. So maybe we're missing people. We're stuck on our own. We'd love to get out and see people, but we can't. Or we're very conscious of those who used to be with us, but they're not anymore, and we miss them especially. Of course, even if we're on our own, many of us are thankful that we can use technology to see and speak to each other. But, you know, there are some in the church family who aren't listening to these words. You're reading a copy we've posted to you, because to you, the technology is like a foreign language. We miss seeing people. For others, we can't get away from people because we're at home with all the family or a household. And that raises its own challenges. We're just not used to sharing the house with one another all day. So we get grumpy and impatient. Why don't you tidy up after yourself? Do you have to make so much noise? Who left the bathroom like that? Is nobody going to help me out? Can't you see? I'm trying to work. And of course, when we're feeling anxious about what is going on, that can burst out in rash words and thoughtless behaviour. When we face hardship and are under pressure, it can have a real impact on how we treat people. So we need to work extra hard at our relationships. Well, this was very true for the Christians Paul was writing to in Thessalonica. We know that they made a great start to the Christian life. But we mustn't forget that life wasn't easy for them. There were plenty of other people in Thessalonica who didn't believe in Jesus and made life very hard for them. They were really under pressure. And the danger was that that pressure would start to spoil their relationships. So as he comes to the end of his letter, Paul tells them how they should approach the most important relationships in their lives. And there are some great lessons for us, for our relationships, when we're under pressure. Paul talks about four important relationships, how they relate to their church leaders, to each other, to the Lord, and to him. But we're going to look especially at the first three. So first, relating to their leaders, Paul says, respect your leaders. Respect your leaders, verses 12 and 13. God is clear in the Bible that churches need leaders. Leaders who are given responsibility to lead, to protect and care for his people. So Paul talks about relating to them first. Verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. The new church in Thessalonica clearly had leaders, but don't forget, those leaders were very new Christians themselves, and perhaps that was causing some problems. There were some in the church who didn't like others being in authority over them, particularly if those leaders were pointing out things that needed to change, telling them where they were going wrong in their lives. You can imagine them thinking or even saying, "Who do you think you are to tell me how to live?" And so Paul is saying, there can be none of that. You need to respect your leaders. Now, in his words here, we can see some of his expectation for what church leaders should be like. Please pray that we would be leaders like this. So verse 12, we're to work hard. The description here is similar to how Paul described his own ministry in chapter 2. And we're to work hard at the most important things, as one church leader puts it, giving time to preaching, prayer, and people. Paul also describes leaders as those who are over you in the Lord. So, in other words, we're given authority to give direction to those under our care. Do you remember chapter 2, verse 12, where Paul described himself as being like a father dealing with his children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God? Well, church leaders are to do that. And that includes what Paul mentions here, admonishing, in other words, warning or rebuking where we see sin or foolishness. Now, that's a difficult part of the job, but as any parent will know, it is sometimes vital. Please pray we'd be willing to do it when necessary. Now again, we can well imagine that this was something that some of the Thessalonians resented. So Paul calls them to respect their leaders. Don't look down on them, but verse 13, hold them in the highest regard because of their work. And Paul's not talking for calling for a grudging, through gritted teeth kind of attitude, as you might have had at school, where you might have shown respect for a strict teacher who you didn't like at all. No, he says, you're to do this in love. Once again, in this letter, we see how love is to overflow in all relationships in the church, including towards leaders. So there's the first thing for us to think about today. Do we respect our leaders in the church? I guess the big test of that will be when they challenge us or warn us. Will we get resentful? Will we complain about them? Will we make excuses or shift the blame? Or will we listen and recognise the authority that they have been given to care for us? Paul ends this bit saying, live in peace with each other. That's a word both to leaders and to those they lead. It's a complete disaster when churches and their leaders fall out with each other. It's a terrible witness. Well, let's pray that God would grant us that peace and unity. So that's how to relate to leaders. Next, relating to each other. And Paul says, be concerned for every individual. Be concerned for every individual. You see, it's not only church leaders who are to encourage the Christians in their church. These next verses are applied to everybody. We all have a responsibility for one another. Look at verse 14. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Now, I am sure you've noticed that members of the same family can be very different from one another. Some are loud, some are quiet. Some love the outdoors, others prefer to be at home. Some love playing games, others like, I don't know, baking. Parents, you could press pause here. You could talk together about some of the ways that you're different in your family. Well, I'm sure you can see how people are different in families, and the same is true in God's family in church. We're all different, and not just in how we look or the kind of music we prefer. We have different struggles in the Christian life, different things we find hard as we seek to live for Jesus. You know, for years at HBC, we only had extra large blue t-shirts for the whole team. It was a one-size-fits-all situation, although we used to joke it was a one-size-fits-nobody. Well, when it comes to helping Christians live for Jesus, there is no one-size-fits-all approach, because we all have different struggles. Paul indicates that in verse 14. So, as we've seen before, some in Thessalonica were idle. They needed warning not to be a burden to others. Some were timid. Perhaps they were easily discouraged by the opposition they faced, or their faith had been shaken by bereavement. They needed encouraging. Others were weak. Maybe they were physically frail, or they were morally weak. They struggled to resist temptation. In either case, they needed help. See, different people need different kinds of encouragement and help. We need to recognise that. So why not think about some of the different people you know in the church family? Why not think of some of the different kinds of help that they might need at this time? You could talk about that over coffee or whatever you have to drink afterwards. See, the danger is we can't understand why someone else struggles in a different way from us, and so we get impatient with them. Or we find that their actions hurt us, so we want to get them back. So Paul's got some great wisdom for us here, did you see? Be patient with everyone. No one should pay back wrong for wrong. And always try to be kind. Kindness is so important. Kindness is like the oil that you put in an engine to ease the friction between all the moving parts. As Christians, we know the amazing kindness of God, who's shown us immense grace and given us blessings we never deserved. And so we should show kindness in our relationships. And if we do, that will smooth over all kinds of potential friction between us. So, respect your leaders, be concerned for every individual, and finally, always look to the Lord, who will look after you. That's the other relationship, so important. Always look to the Lord, who will look after you. Now, can you think of some of the things that you should always do every day? Parents, you could press pause to talk about that. Well, what did you think of? Brush your teeth, get some exercise, eat your five a day, and especially at this time, wash your hands. Well, here, Paul tells us some things that God wants his people to do all the time. Look at verse 16. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you notice the always, continually, in all circumstances? Paul says we should do these things no matter what is happening. Even when we're under pressure, even when things are hard, as they are at the moment, we should do these things. Why? Because of Jesus. You see, Jesus gives us a reason to be joyful every day, because he's saved us and he's forgiven us and he's brought us into God's family, because he is praying for us now, and one day he'll take us home. Through Jesus, we can talk to God as our loving Heavenly Father, no matter when or where we are. How amazing. Let's take every opportunity to pray. Sorry prayers, thank you prayers, help me prayers. And we can always give thanks, because every good gift we have comes from the Lord, especially the blessings of the gospel. It would be brilliant through this time if we all took a bit of time each day to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks. It's what God wants us to do. And what will keep us rejoicing, praying, and thankful? It'll be the word of God brought home to us by his Holy Spirit. So Paul says, verse 19, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." Now, I don't have time to address all the questions these verses raise now. Probably best to drop me a line if you have questions. What I will say is this. In his letter so far, Paul has wanted to underline how the message he brought to the Thessalonians wasn't just words, but it came with the power of God himself. As he preached the gospel, God, the Holy Spirit, did a powerful work in people's lives. So when he says, "Don't put out the Spirit's fire," I think he means don't ignore or neglect or forget the word of God that has come to you. I'm sure you can see what a foolish thing that would be. When someone important is speaking to you, you shouldn't ignore it. You know, when Boris Johnson has made his important announcements this week, you shouldn't just turn off the radio or the TV. And when God speaks to us, we shouldn't sort of put our hands over our ears. We mustn't neglect or ignore the word of God. And therefore, we also shouldn't dismiss prophecies. When someone says, "I think God is saying this to us," don't say, "Oh, that's rubbish." Paul says, take it seriously. Test it. Does it fit with Paul's teaching? Or we'd say, does it fit with what the Bible says? If it does, take it seriously. If it doesn't, well then, don't. Now again, I realise that may raise questions, but don't miss the point. What is going to help us grow in our relationship with God so that we're joyful, prayerful, thankful? It's by allowing the Spirit of God to work in us by his word. So don't neglect your Bible. Listen to God's word and put it into practice. Well, there's one more thing to say, but let's just recap. When we're under pressure, it can put a great strain on our relationships. So let's take on Paul's teaching here. Respect your leaders. Be concerned for individuals. Above all, always look to the Lord. But remember as well, he will look after you. This is such good news. Keeping going in the Christian life is not ultimately down to us, which is why Paul finishes with a prayer and a promise. A prayer that God will keep us going so that we'll be ready to meet the Lord Jesus when he returns, and a promise that God cannot and will not let us down. So I'm going to finish by saying verses 23 and 24 as a prayer for us as we end. Let's pray. So may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Well, for our final song, we're going to express our trust in God as our shepherd who leads us and provides for us and will ultimately lead us home.